The following is a KIPI exclusive interview.
KIPI 93.5. We are here with a very, very, very special guest or guests. Shunka Luta is here. And also
Bert Dillaba
with the Native Biodata Consortium. Can't say that word.
I think people can pronounce it either way, but we say consortium.
The NBDC, Nonprofit Research Institute led by Indigenous scientists and tribal members in the United States, as a biorepository or biobank to ensure that advances in genetics and health research benefit all Indigenous peoples. Does that sum up what you guys do? Because I'm reading it directly from your website.
Yeah, thank you. We're done here. Yeah, that encapsulates it. Yes, sir.
All right. And you stopped by. We're glad to have you here, KIPI Studios. And, Austin Shunka Luta. But they all know him. Everyone knows him.
He's the
other Lekshi.
He's known throughout the res, huh?
Worldwide.
Oh, worldwide.
Internationally known Red Dog. You stopped by to educate us on what you guys do, what you're doing, your plans, your goals. So I'm going to turn it over to you if you want to just maybe go a little further than what I just said there. Tell the people.
Yeah. Okay. So, as you said, we're a nonprofit biorepository and research center located here in Cheyenne River in Eagle Butte. Currently, we're at the old Presentation College building. And we're here to store data, obviously, and also help with research. But then another part of what we're doing is we're concerned about data sovereignty. And so equal to all the other stuff we do is to try to help, in this case, the tribe, Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, but also all tribes and all Indigenous people understand the importance of data sovereignty.
So what is the importance? Why should they care that this is getting done?
So data, in the world we live in now, you know, data is currency. Data equals currency. So I'm sure we all have social media of some sort, and we all feel like we are consumers of social media. And that's the way we all felt when social media was new. But I think of late, we've all discovered that we're actually the product of social media, and advertisers are the consumers. We're the product that social media is selling to the advertisers. That's why we got to watch all these ads. And so that data that we willingly gave up, unknowingly gave up, but willingly when we clicked the little agree thing that was about 10 pages long and we didn't bother to read, gave them the right to do that. Facebook, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and now TikTok. And so in clicking that little box, we unknowingly gave up our right to own that data that we traffic on these social media sites. And so we are trying to protect tribes and Indigenous people from unknowingly checking that little box. You know, if you're going to check that box and you're going to let your data be used in some sort of research or anything like that, we want you to understand that there's a lot of stuff contained in that small print that we didn't bother to read on social media, and we said yes and agreed to it. So, I mean, that's the gist of data sovereignty. I mean, we can get in more specific than that if you...
I think that sums it up. I mean, it's pretty much any contract. Basically, what you're doing is the people trying to work for the people to protect their own stuff, to keep their own stuff, whether that be data or whatever. Because, you know, we are taught as Indigenous peoples that if we do not tell our history, it gets told for us and it gets misconstrued by people who aren't, like you said, people that have nothing to do with it, telling our story. Seems to be the same way with what you guys are doing, trying to get the biobank to keep our data.
Yes, I mean, and that's part of it, is storing the data. But the other part is, as Native Indigenous people to these two continents, North and South America, however you believe we came to be here, we were isolated from the rest of the world for tens of thousands of years. And so in that, we are distinct. which is why when Europeans came over here and the diseases that they carried around with them and made them sick, it decimated our populations because we didn't have any immunities built up to those diseases because we weren't exposed to them. So genetically, in that way, we were different. So in that difference, that was a negative for us difference. It killed, estimations are 90% of our population was probably killed by disease.
Yeah. Before like the wars even
before
broke
the
out,
wars
90%
came.
Was wiped out by disease.
So we started out genetically different, and then we had this disease that came through, and of those, only the strongest survived. So we were already pre-selected to be stronger, like the good traits that people are after. All the ones who couldn't survive that died. In that difference in our genetics, there are people betting that there's benefits for the larger society. There's going to be something in our DNA that is going to benefit the rest of the world who doesn't have our genetics. And an example, this is not a benefit, but this would be a detriment, is we seem to be more susceptible to type 2 of diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
And that is because we're different. But that's a negative difference. In our DNA somewhere, they're betting there's going to be a positive difference. And that positive difference is going to be beneficial to the rest of the world because we already have it, but it's also going to be valuable. So if we just give our data away by checking that agree box and not thinking much of it, somebody, not any Indians on any reservation who are struggling, they're going to benefit from that. And if you look what happened with the pandemic and these mRNA vaccines they made, somewhere they had a store of genetic data to pull from to create these. And the pharmaceutical companies made billions of dollars off that. And I'm sure the people's data they used to create this didn't receive any of it. And so there's value in us being us. I mean, we've known that, right? We always know that we're different and we're valuable and we're unique. And that's what makes us us. Now they're going after what makes us us to try to benefit them. And so we just want tribes and individuals to understand that, you know, don't just absentmindedly check agree and give away that which makes us us for some sort of vague promise that it's going to benefit us in the end. Understand what you're giving away and what the potential value of that is. And so if anybody does benefit, this isn't just about monetarily benefiting, but if there is to be such a benefit, we'd like the people who that information comes from to benefit, and that would be us. Yeah. as Native people.
Well, that's pretty awesome. I'm glad that's happening. I'm glad you guys are doing what you're doing. We're going to take a little break here, play some music, and we'll be back with more information from the Native Biodata Consortium.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things ain't doing.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
Take my generation. Take my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away?
Talking about my generation.
Don't try to dig what we all say.
Talking about my generation.
I'm not trying to cause a big sensation.
Talking about my generation.
I'm just talking about my what we all
talking about my generation.
I'm trying to cause a big sensation.
Talking about my generation.
Just talking
about my generation. Cause we could get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things ain't doing it awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
We now return to the exclusive interview with the Native Biodata Consortium.
Just to go back for a second, you know, that's always what we heard growing up. You know, because of who you are as Indigenous people, you're more prone to heart disease, cancer, just everything affects us more. Like all this stuff that we didn't have and we haven't caught up with because you said we're isolated. Has there been any, as far as you know, any advances or anything found that can benefit yet? Or are you guys still working on it?
Not from the NBDC specifically, but there's stuff out there. I don't know how deep in the weeds you want to get, but
just a basic maybe.
I mean, so like one of the things they did is they went to Pacific Islanders, and they can be very large people.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be susceptible to type 2 diabetes like the rest of the population.
Yeah.
They can be much larger people and they don't come down with type 2 diabetes at any higher rates. So they're out there and they want to study them. There was a thing where they found something and they tried to patent it, but then the Samoan, it was Samoa, and they found out about it. And so then they sued them, and I'm not sure exactly what happened, but they stopped trying to patent whatever it was. So there's definitely...
There's definitely things being found
there's
in the
things
indigenous
being
people.
Found. And the thing to understand is, just like with these mRNA vaccines, we don't know what it is yet that's going to be in there, but they know there's something in there.
Yeah.
So it's basically like going down to a stream and panning for some gold or something.
Okay.
And you got a whole bunch of stuff in there, and at some point you're going to find something that's valuable. And if they already own our data at that point, when they find what's valuable, it'll be too late to try to make sure that we get taken care of in that process, that we get something out of it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like with the land. At the time that originally Europeans and then Americans were coming for our land, mostly what everybody was concerned about was the land and what was on top of it. Definitely for us, that's what it was, right? The land and what was on top of it. And for farmers, it was maybe the top 18 inches. I mean, other than gold and silver, I don't think very many people were going after anything that was down in the ground. But come to find out decades later, there's oil, there's uranium, there's all kinds of things that are down there and valuable that in the 1800s, the 1700s, 1600s, nobody was concerned about that. And so not that we gave our land away, I'm not saying that at all, but we didn't realize what it all entailed, and neither did they. And right now we're at the same point. We don't realize what in our bodies, in our DNA is valuable, but they know there's something in there that's going to be valuable. And so we need to know also that there's something in there that's going to be valuable, and we need to take precaution to decide whether or not we want to give that away, first of all, or if we just want to say, we're different and we want to remain different, you take care of yourself however you see fit. Or if we want to give that away, that we make sure we share in any sort of financial benefit that comes from it, so that our people who actually have this in us that's better, we get to be taken care of to some degree.
Fighting for the choice to decide on what we do.
The most important thing.
What's found in us.
And what we want everybody to know is make sure that you know you have a choice. And like the tribe as a sovereign, if they choose to let something happen, we just want them to know that, want them to be aware that they're letting that happen. If they choose to do something, great, as long as they're exercising their sovereignty. We just don't want something to be just given away and not even think about the fact that you have the sovereign right to control that.
Gotcha. Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't hear that about our Samoan Oyate. Shout out to my Tonghash out there, Tongans, Samoans. I remember hearing of something similar with the Diné people. As far as heart disease, or they didn't have heart attacks or strokes. They had healthier hearts than any other indigenous people in this continent. I think something similar happened to that. I'm not 100%, but I remember there was a big report on that a while ago.
Yeah, I'm not aware specifically on them. I know they've had a moratorium on genetic testing on Navajo for maybe around 20 years or something. So
yeah.
if it had been something, it would have had to have been before that.
Yeah, what? Something to do with the heart anyways. So, but yeah, that's pretty interesting. And I never did really think of that. I know a lot of Samoans and you never hear of one having diabetes. So educating the people here. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with more of the, I can't say it. Can you say it? Native Biodata
Consortium.
Consortium. KIPI 93.5. Interview with the Native Biodata Consortium. And we are back with the Native Biodata Consortium.
Consortium.
Shmushmum. And he's basically here telling us the old E40 song that everybody has choices when it comes to your genetic data.
the Native Bio Data Consortium. You can just call us the NBDC or Native Bio if you want. If it's
can I call you the Bio Boys?
No. No, you can't call us that. Maybe the Bio Men, but no.
Man. All right.
So the NBDC, and we partnered with Tribal Ventures. We wanted to give back to the community. And so we had some money. Us and Tribal Ventures, we try to think how we could do something that, as we've been talking about sovereignty, something that strengthens sovereignty with that money. So we decided to make what we call a sovereignty in action practicum. And the reason why it's a practicum is because we wanted to be able to give students from Cheyenne River OLC some money, and we'll explain later for what, but not have it affect their financial aid package.
Oh, nice.
So as a practicum, that's not a grant, it's not a scholarship, and it doesn't affect their financial aid. So we had $10,000, and we decided to do four practicums, giving four people $2,500 each. We considered doing fewer and more money, and more and less money, but we settled on that, trying to give enough money where something can be done positive, but still give it to as many people as we could. So the sovereignty in action practicum, the requirements were pretty broad. You had to be, this was last spring, you had to be enrolled at Cheyenne River OLC, and you had to be either a tribal member here on Cheyenne River or a descendant of a tribal member. And you had to have done something which involved sovereignty. And we were very broad on what that was. We didn't want to pigeonhole anybody into it. Had to be, you know, tribal political sovereignty, you know, because sovereignty is defined in many ways. And then you had to tell us what you were going to do with the money, which helped strengthen sovereignty. And again, it could be very broad, you know, many different ways of what's considered sovereignty. And then we also there was no requirement to account for what the money, where you spent the money. So like if you wanted to go to a conference, you could go to a conference, you know, as long as you could explain how it involves strengthening sovereignty. And so then you could pay for your fuel to go there, your motel room, your conference fees, your meals. And we didn't make you give us receipts. And so one of the recipients was Austin Red Dog, or Shunka Lunta, I guess I got to call him, because he's known throughout these here microphones.
You got to put some respect on that name is what you got to do.
Okay, sorry. Respectfully, Shunka Lunta. So, but he chose to do language. And so I think this would be a good time to bring Austin in and have him explain what he did. And
Cashy guy, Austin Shunka Luta.
I'm sure he spent most of it by now, so it'll be hitting him up.
Yeah. Gosh, papi itawachi.
Ota. Good afternoon, everybody. So being a college student at OLC, it was an opportunity to invest in the community further. At the time, we were planning different events. Some of the events were, the first one I recall, it was a sobriety conference, mid-July 2022, and we expanded further into language events. Obviously, we worked alongside the Lakota Cultural Center, the director, and a lot of other people that we collaborated with, doing community work, especially focusing on language revitalization and reclamation. That's a part of decolonizing our mind, utilizing our first language, our first identity, and supporting our relatives and helping establish that foundation. It's really difficult. I mean, it has its challenges. The actual funding that came in, that helped us overcome some of those hurdles. When you're organizing at a grassroots level.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough to get it going.
Yeah. You got to partner with a lot of people. It's actually a good challenge because it teaches you a lot about your community, about the nonprofit organizations that are around, the tribal government, the different key players, the support, which ones are supportive, which ones are not. But it helps you grow in a sense. So utilizing this funding, I invested most of it I want to say most of it into these events, because whenever you're doing, you obviously, you know, you have an event, you want to feed people. That's how you kind of draw people in. Everybody wants to eat something. Along other things, I did gather up some, what is it called? Terabytes storage.
Oh, yeah.
SSD. Yeah. So the plan is, and we've been doing that, is collecting language audio, which we're going to, that's coming up soon. Here is the, we're going to start pushing out audio, video and audio weekly on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, trying to make them small clips. I want to say about 15 seconds explaining a sentence with some type of visual aid. And that the effort there is to reach the children halfway, because if we think about it, they're all on their tablets.
Yep.
They're all on these social media platforms. We have to find ways that and utilize this technology that's here and how we can do it. There's a lot of different belief systems behind that. Some people don't want to be recorded. That's fine. But we have to push forward and do our best to help utilize what we have so we don't lose it.
And that's awesome, because I think that's a good idea to push the language, learning the language. It has to be learned at a young level. Just last week we had the Unchis in here, and they were talking that they were saying what needs to happen is that the generations now, the young generations, need to learn the language, and then eventually, after 1, 2, 3 generations, it will become the first language, and then English can become the second language. So with the Native Biodata Consortium, there you go, donating that money. Yeah, so you guys are doing a good thing. He's doing all this Austin Shunkaluta with the language. So keeping the people, if that makes any sense, with your assistance. And I'm glad because I'm gonna be honest, I have no idea what you guys do. I didn't. Now I do. Far, it's all positive. When they say Native Biodata genetic research, I thought they were going to try to turn us into some kind of supermen or androids, Terminators.
Trying to get hold of this here super specimen with respect on his name, Shunkaluta.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to try to clone him so that we're strong again.
Yeah, I can dig it. Yeah, a nation of red dogs. It'll happen. Watch Terminator. They all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Because he was the supreme genetics. What better candidate than the red dogs here? We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more with the Native Biodata
Consortium.
Or the NBDC. Be right back.
The pound of the wheels drumming in my brain. My dash is dusty, my plates are expired. Please, Mr. Officer, let me explain. I got to make it to a powwow tonight. I'll be singing 49 down by the riverside, looking for sugar, riding in my Indian car. Got my T-bird in the glove box, I ain't got no spare. Got a feather from an eagle, I ain't got no care. The road is empty in my bottle of desire. Daylight is breaking, the sun touches fire. I got to make another powwow tonight. I'll be singing 49 down by the riverside, looking for sugar, riding in my Indian car. Thank you. dentist, the radiator steams. One headlight don't work, the radio can scream. I got a sticker that says Indian Power. I stuck it on a bumper, that's what holds my car together. We're on a circuit of an Indian dream. We don't get old, we just get younger. When we're flying down the highway, riding in our Indian car. We're on a circuit of an Indian dream. We don't get old, we just get younger. When we're flying down the highway, riding in our Indian car. Riding in our Indian car. Riding in our Indian car.
We now return to the exclusive interview with the Native Biodata Consortium.
And we are back here on KIPI 93.5 with the NBDC, the Native Biodata Consanitarium. Or go ahead.
You got it.
The Consanitarium.
Consortium.
Consortium. Native Biodata Consortium. What throws me off is the spelling of consortium.
Yeah,
that's not how it's like pronounced.
Consortium.
It's like the word baloney or colonel in the army. But we'll get it. We'll get it by the end of this interview. I guarantee you that much right now. But DJ, Grandmaster, Mixmaster Kari had a couple of questions for you.
All right. Well, I was hearing you guys' talk out there with the executive producer. Pretty interesting hearing you guys speak and stuff, like things you're explaining. And like the first one I want to actually talk about is like, how official do you guys, like your guys' equipment and stuff? Like, cause like I heard you guys talk about, you guys had the freezers and stuff like that.
Very,
very official.
Nicely locked.
Like, does it look like what you think a native bio data repository would look?
Yeah. Does it look like Jurassic Park when they got the frozen things in the coolers? Just say yeah. Just say
yes.
All right.
It's just like Jurassic Park.
That's what I wanted to hear.
We're bringing back ancient Tatanka that no longer exists. We got the samples in the freezer. No. Yeah, it's a state-of-the-art lab. We have, we all learned what PCR was, right? PCR testing, where you can test and tell what, I mean, that would be like a more than the at-home test, a much more positive test that you actually have it. And then we also have the ability to sequence data and like sequence viruses. And in this case, specifically, we'd be doing the COVID virus. As a matter of fact, we currently have a study going on where we are testing the population here on Cheyenne River who are sick. And we test for four things. We test for COVID-19, influenza A and B, and RSV. And so if anybody out there is feeling sick, get hold of Tribal Ventures, and we would love to test you. And if you're positive for COVID, then we would do a blood test and we would sequence what strain of COVID you have. And the reason we're having this test is so that we can determine what COVID is here on Cheyenne River. And also we try to figure out how COVID is moving through the reservation, sorry. And that is to help us prepare, God forbid, Tungashula forbid, sorry there, Shunkaluta, that we have another pandemic of some sort. We can try to figure out how to be more prepared for that. Again, like I said, hopefully it never comes, but if it does come. So we have a hood where you can go in and test infectious diseases where you're reaching through and testing stuff without actually being exposed to it. And so it's a pretty sophisticated lab for right here in little old Eagle Butte, South Dakota, in the middle of the res. So.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, yeah, a lot of our elders, when they hear about stuff like this, the automatic thing that a lot of them think is like, oh, I don't know what they're doing. I don't want them studying me, you know, because we have a bad history with this kind of stuff. And I wanted to get across that working from within is the way to do it. Like you said, you're here to protect the people from those outsiders coming in and taking that data and taking that information without consent. So, you know, often got to remind the elders, like, this is the way to do it. If it's going to be done, this is the way it needs to be done, from within, by the people, for the people. One thing is like, yeah, we just want to make sure it's not a rinky-dink operation. Not to insult you, we just want to make sure that it's legit, and you have confirmed that it is legit.
Yeah, we're legit, and also, so we're indigenous-led, and what that means specifically for us is here in Eagle Butte, we have three tribal members, myself included. We have an Ojibwe, and we have a Mexican, and then we have a Korean guy that works for us here in town.
Nice.
And so everybody that is part of Native Bio Data Consortium is indigenous of some sort. We have partners who are Maori. We have partners in Canada. I mean, so, you know, to help the elders feel a little more assured, we aren't them. We are us. Or we're just different types of us that aren't from here in Cheyenne River. But our whole thing is protecting sovereignty and protecting indigenous people, because that's who we are.
And that's what I wanted to get across to the elders who are listening right now. It's not nothing to be worried about. It's the way it needs to be.
Everything we do, we get tribal council approval. And so currently, for the next phase of that, we're waiting on tribal council approval. They have it at legal currently. So we're waiting for that to come back because, I mean, as I stated before, we're big on sovereignty. And so as part of that, we want to make sure that the tribe is aware of what we're doing and approves of everything we're doing.
We already know smallpox, influenza, rheumatoid arthritis. We know all the bad. Now we want to find the good. Even if there was no financial benefit, there would still be the information. I think the information is more important. We found something good. At least now we know.
Yeah, and we know that indigenous people, we're not opposed to something that we have benefiting, you know, the world society. We just want to make sure that we have a part in that. We have a stake in that. We just don't want something stolen from us.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had so much stolen from us in the past.
Yeah. It's like, what else can they take? Oh, they can take our data.
Yeah.
and a lot of times, you know,
intellectual property.
In our history, a lot of the people who came and did the most harm to us were what it's termed do-gooders. You know, some do-gooders came in and they were going to educate us, right? So that we could function in this new society we were going to be a part of better. And unfortunately, in the process of that, we lost a lot. Not only did we lose lives of children who were gone, but we lost our hair, which is, you know, that grows back, right? But we lost our language, and we had people who were abused who came back and unfortunately brought some of that trauma home to us. And then sometimes we even lost our spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, because we were forced to not speak our language, not to perform our ceremonies. You know, so we lost a lot in somebody coming here and wanting to do good for us. And so we don't want somebody coming here, another do-gooder coming here for our own benefit, because they're going to find a medical breakthrough for us. And in the process of that, a lot of these unintended consequences happen where we're losing again.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
I know, that's why I said it. Just kidding.
He's just reading my brain right now.
All right, I got a question. So is there somewhere that your consortium publishes your data, your research? Is it like a, I don't know, is it quarterly, annually?
We don't have anything like that as of now. I mean, we publish as part of our grants, you know, as we get the information, but that's a great idea and something we can definitely look into. We have a community advisory board that we work with, and because we're like that, that's input from the community. Yeah, we're always interested in anything like that, that the community, because we don't always see everything because we kind of get focused on what we're doing. But anytime we can get input from the community, that's beneficial, or even if it's not beneficial, I guess, but like that. And certainly I will bring that up when we get back to the office, and we'll talk about making some sort of quarterly report. We do have a Facebook page, I think Instagram as well, but definitely a Twitter page, and we have a YouTube page. And our website is nativebio.org. We post stuff on there, and it's not always our content, but it's also links to other people's content that is of like matter.
Relevant.
Yep. Yep.
We're going to take a little break here, play some music, and we'll be back with more information from the Native Biodata Consortium.
Interview with the Native Biodata Consortium.
I was thinking that there, whenever you were discussing how the organization, or is it a nonprofit organization?
Yes.
How the 501c3 is, how it runs, what your goals are. I had been wondering, I know you mentioned that you request, or you get the request from the tribal council. Who do you report to? Like, who's is there authority over you, or is there like different organizations, research organizations that you collaborate with, like different peer groups?
Yes, there are multi of what you just said. I mean, of course, we report to you because you're the man.
The community.
Yeah, the community. He is.
I'm not. You guys.
He is in and of himself the Oyate. So, no. No, we do. We report to tribal health here. Our contact person is Danette Sir. So we report to her, and also we report to council and the health committee as becomes necessary. But then we do have partners that we work with. University of Washington, Stanford, you know, these different universities that we work with. So then we do have reporting that we do to them. Because when we get our grants, there are obligations that we have to meet for those grants. So
yeah, I think that's good information to have, as was discussed earlier about trust issues with ethical research, unethical research in the past. So it's good information. It's vital information, especially for our people to understand where the data is going or who has access to it. And that kind of covers that if we have access to it, can we see what's being done? Have more open questions.
Yeah, that's a great question there, because we have an office here in town. As I said, it's in the old Presentation College building. If you don't know what that is, it's 220 East Prairie Road, which you probably know old Presentation College building better than that actual physical address. And yeah, we're open 8 to 5 generally, Monday through Friday. And the public is welcome to come in and ask questions if they have them. Certainly, we're open to answering questions. We're all about transparency, and any questions that anyone might have, they're welcome to get hold of us. We have a website. Again, it's nativebio.org. They can contact us through that. They can come down and stop in.
So that brings up another question. In the past, I've tried to reach out to Native Bio Data Consortium and try to contact you personally. So the actual contact, the phone number would be Tribal Ventures to connect with Native Biodata, or is it email?
Yeah, we have an actual phone number somewhere. I don't remember what it is. Oh man,
I was looking for that for a while.
Because it's a cell phone, but it stays in the office. But no, you can contact me personally. My number is 605-200-0609. I'm the tribal liaison for Native Biodata Consortium. So again, it's 200-0609. But you can stop in, you can email us. We have a Facebook page. You can reach out to us through there. Twitter, we have a Twitter page. We have YouTube. I encourage everybody to go on YouTube and look at the videos we have on there of the stuff that we've done, what we've been involved in. Yeah, but if anybody has any questions, please, 200-0609, Bert Dillabaugh, Tribal Liaison.
Thank you for that's good. That's good information to have. Questions that were pondering in my mind, I guess. And I'd like to reiterate that I'm not technically, like, whenever they introduced us as the Native Bio, like, together, as you know, I'm not an employee there.
You are not part of us, apparently. Since you are the Oyate, we are part of you, though. So
yeah, and that's it right there. I'm one person standing alongside the Oyate.
He is a humble Wichasha of the Lakota Oyate.
Ikche Wichasha.
Just a Ikche Wichasha. He doesn't like all this filling his head full of smoke. He's just a regular man.
I haven't even earned Ikche Wichasha yet.
He's not a... No. In all seriousness, that no. Humble. Austin doesn't work for us. We would like to call him a friend and a collaborator, but he is his own man doing his own thing. And we're just with this Sovereignty in Action practicum, which we intend to do again. I don't have any details on when or anything, but we will be getting information out to the radio station, and we'll have flyers around town about this year's Sovereignty in Action. We're just happy to be able to help somebody like Austin to help the tribe, you know, in whatever ways we can. We are the Native Biodata Consortium. We consider ourselves part of the community, or at least we want to be part of the community. We're here. Some of us are literally from here, born here, and we want to be a part of the community. And part of us existing here is we want to be able to give back whatever we can to the community in which we reside in any way we can, whether it's actual money like these Sovereignty and Action practicums, or if it's in other ways. We're here to be a part of the community and to help out however we can.
Nice. Well, that's a good little wrap up, I feel. Anything else you want to say?
Just thank you. We appreciate being here. We appreciate Austin for coming in on his own time, because we're not paying him to be here. No.
Ikche.
Yeah, he's just Ikche. Don't be calling them the Oyate anymore, people. Come on now. No, we appreciate being here. We appreciate KP existing and being here and being something that is an asset to the community and a tool for the community to use. And in this case, like I said, we consider ourselves part of the community, and we're able to use this tool to get information out there. So we appreciate it.
One thing I really like is that you guys are utilizing the social media aspect, as you were saying, like meeting the kids halfway. Like, I really like that you guys are utilizing the social medias and YouTubes, and you start doing the TikToks.
Are you calling?
Bio TikTok.
Is that your way of calling me old?
No, I just like it.
You mean
like,
us kids, right?
Yeah, no, we kids. You.
You got to remember DJ Kari's 14 years
old. I'm 14
old.
Years old.
So... You know, he sees anybody older is very old.
I just got called out as an old man. He just he politely said, "Hey, old man, thanks for reaching out
thanks
on
for
Facebook.
Reaching out to us."
That's how I feel every day here. Well, thank you again for coming in for the Native Bio Consanitarium.
Consanatorium.
You forgot the data part too, but.
What did I say?
Native Bio Consanatorium.
Oh, okay. Which is what it's.
Native Bio Data Consortium. Nativebio.org. You can go on there and read it for yourself.
Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. We do appreciate what you guys are doing. And we look forward to the data and the adventures in the future, the discoveries in the future that you guys are going to have. And hopefully there's no army of Shunka Lutas running the race.
Yeah, and again, thank you. Just again, I'd like to mention we do have the COVID study going on. You can reach out to Tribal Ventures at 964-2016 if you're sick. We do have some incentives going on to come and test. Like I said, we're looking for positive for COVID, influenza A and B, and RSV. But really, we're looking for COVID mostly so that we can try to see what strain is here and how it's spreading. So Tribal Ventures, 964-2016.
And for more information, you can go to the website nativebio.org. That's going to do it for the Native Biodata Consortium. Thank you for coming in. KIPI 93.5.
This interview was conducted at the KIPI Studios at 724 North Main Street in Eagle Butte, South Dakota, on the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe.